call that thing, that a little pin or something popped out of the foot thing, and the car kept going. I almost ran into something. I went to work that whole morning just coasting down the street because I had to get to work, and I didn't go back home to get her car. Got to the job, and the guy said, oh, the cotter pin came out under the brake deal and just put it back in. But I didn't panic. I didn't call and tell Lucy I needed the car. I took the old car and just coasted to work all the way. Made sure that I timed each light as I rolled through it.
Well, see, we males have abdicated our role as leadership. You know, something comes up, some financial thing, and I'm speaking for myself here too. You know, you handle it. You handle the finances. You handle this and that. And so we have abdicated that. And if I mean, people have asked me from time to time, well, why'd you get divorced?
Okay.
And my answer was I was a lousy husband. Hmm. And that I believe in the scriptures, in that if a woman is caused to resentment or anger, that we need to look at the man first.
Okay.
I was not obedient to God. I was not the spiritual leader. And I've had people that know both myself and my ex-wife go, well, no, she was this and she... No. I am fault number one. Mm-hmm. I am the one who sinned.
What I like about you is that you've owned up to your own responsibility, Al. You didn't try to put the responsibility on anybody else, because most of the time, that's what people do today. They don't want to be responsible for their own ill behavior. And so not only do I commend you for that, but the Lord commends you for that. Now, the situation is not workable because the marriage was completely decimated by your behavior.
Exactly.
And that's a given situation. Mark's is quite different. Mark did, and I won't get into the detail, but Mark did everything he could. As a matter of fact, I even counseled his wife. You know, you need to do this. You need to not do this, because you can't do this with this man and have this man healthy. There are, you know what? It's like me having a bad roommate. Okay? Seriously. Yeah. Now, I got a brand new roommate, and both of these guys saw my roommate today, and they love my roommate.
Oh, yes.
He's out in the backyard running around chasing his tail right now. See? Because he wanted to come in the studio, and I wouldn't let him. I said, no, you're not taking over this studio.
Right.
No, you've got the perfect roommate.
See, I got the perfect roommate.
Perfect.
And see, because if he makes my friend smile, he makes me smile. Now, did you know that that is exactly the way a marriage is supposed to be? Each of the couple is supposed to compliment the others, that when other people come around, they can see the smiles.
Right.
They can see the smile. They can see the happiness. They don't see the feignness going on, the hypocrisy of one person in the relationship going one way and the other person going the other way. And that's why we're having these discussions here about marriage. So commitment is thinking about your partner and not just about yourself. How do we show ourselves, guys, if we wanted to help these ladies? All right, let's try to think like a lady. How would a female show herself committed to her partner and not just to herself? Okay, let me start off. If the finances are low, and even though Jethro gave you the weekend to take the $50 to go shopping, and you know that he wanted to go see that ball game with a friend of his that would take about $40, you really didn't need to go shopping. If you were committed, you would think about your partner and not just about yourself, and give him the $50 back and tell him to take that and go to the game with his best friend, because you know that that would make him happy. See, that's what love is. Love is sacrificing what you have and what you can do for the other person, and so that they can be happy. Lucy and I did that all the time. I mean, I found myself doing that when I gave her the best car. Whenever Christmas time come and I made extra money on OT, all that OT money went in Lucy's hand. Me, I just bought a new Bible book to read. Yes, Mark?
One of the things we've gone over in the past couple weeks is, they get it, you know, from the female part, is to remember not to be in competition with your man. If that was your disposition before, hopefully now that you're a believer, or if, you know, if you're married, or being boyfriend and girlfriend, to not try to be in competition with him as adversaries, that's not going to work, because the male is basically always going to win any sort of tactical or some sort of conversation or any kind of attack on him, not physically, but just men will always try to win.
Why would a woman, and Al, maybe, I don't know whether your wife was competitive or competitive with you like that.
This comes from the current day woman, because she's competitive. What is
that? Because I don't understand that. Wait a minute. Okay.
I understand what he's saying. The current day woman, the liberated woman. She's free aggressive. Woman. She's aggressive. She takes no stuff from nobody.
Now hold. But she's still a woman, isn't she?
She is a female, but she has the aggression of a young 21-year-old who's trying to make the basketball team. She is that aggressive.
That's a good analogy.
Where did this come from?
The collapse of our society.
Wait a minute. Would you say that it came from the collapse
She's had to survive a household... and okay. maybe a job.
Okay.
And a.
So why does she have to be combative with me? I'm not reading it.
Because her society has turned into the best one wins. The best one gets the man. The best one gets the haircut. If I have the look, I'm the best. If I have the man, I'm the best.
So this is a Darwinian.
Her aggressiveness turns into
okay.
this combative thing with her man, because she wants the best, but now she has to try to overtake him.
So you're telling me that the Darwinian idea has won out over the creationist idea, in the relational aspect.
Oh, yes. The mantra of the early women's... the mantra of the early women's rights movement, or whatever they called it, what was it Gloria Steinem said? We don't need men, was one of their rallying mantras. We don't need you guys. And they don't. They don't. It's all we need you for is occasional sex. You know, we can make as much money, and if we don't, then we'll sue, or we'll do whatever we have to do to get where we have to go.
That's just one aspect of your list, I would say, to the fundamentals to commitment. If you're going to be committed, don't try to get in a combative thing with your man.
We had a gentleman in one of the lectures that we were doing, and he became very adamant about that when we got into that part. And he asked everyone in the session, he said, "You know me. What will happen if a woman becomes combative with me?" We all laughed in the room, because we know that this man is a gladiator. The woman ain't gonna win. Yeah. If she becomes combative with him, but then at the same time, I was thinking under my breath, and I said, "But dude, you going to jail."
Yes.
You are going to jail, I mean, for many years. And when a dude is a gladiator like that, when he was a man, and if a woman is combative and she moves that man into that, the man has to be smart enough to know that she is strategizing to get rid of him and to take everything that he has. You see, and that's what these women have been trained by their peers, by the Gloria Steinbecks or whatever you call them.
Steinem.
Yeah. It's like...
Of course, she has a man, but she doesn't need him.
She has a feminized male, because no real man would stay with her. You see, and that's what I'm talking about. A real man would be disgusted by being in her presence. But the men have become so feminized. So if the women have changed that much in this society, in America, then the men have to have changed too.
Yes, we have.
It's a very interesting question. I asked a question in my philosophy class, and I'm sure that some of the students are listening to this series of lectures. And please, students, don't think that it's going to influence your grade. It has nothing to do with philosophy, but we were having a discussion about the difference between a male and a female. There was only two, I believe, distinct answers from females in the room that said that females could do anything that a male could do.
Yes.
And I told them that I'm from the old school, and of course, there are many things that they can't do. The youngster emailed me, and I didn't email her back. I did address it in the classroom, but she addressed me and said, "Well, you didn't prove your premise. Give me an example, an illustration of one thing that a woman can't do that a man can do. That wasn't the issue. Because, you see, a woman can become a chameleon, just like a man could put on a dress and an apron and a female wig and walk in the kitchen and switch his butt.
Well, Tyler Perry. We are in Los Angeles, so that does happen.
Like Mark said, Tyler Perry, right? When I first saw one of his plays, I thought it was a woman. But when it found out that it was a man, I said, oh, he's good. But the point that we're taking here is that, you know, why do we use the language that is so, I mean, Chief Braxton setting in the cathedral while they had the lesbian female police officer's funeral. What was the chief and the deputy chief's feeling when this deceased officers, and can I make it more Christian than that? Be sure your sins will find you out. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Come exactly. On, man. God punishes the lifestyle that is adamantly opposed to what he says biblically.
Absolutely. Now,
I feel sorry for her family. I really do. It's, you know, I thought about it. I didn't know that she was a lesbian. I was thinking about it. My God, the poor young lady, her family has to go to the funeral, and people knew her. This has to be a sad time for them. But then when you hear about something like that, then you say, oh, judgment of God. Because God is going to judge this stuff.
Well, they don't want to hear that. We've got a debauched, sick, decrepit church throughout this country that, I don't know what else to call it, that is seeker sensitive and pleasure sensitive, and there are no ramifications to anything. And so, you know, in Hebrews 13, it's 13:4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Yes. Yes.
We don't want to hear that. But that's very explicit.
Someone said to me today that the reason that they don't want to hear it is because the Bible is a book that speaks against those things that human beings want to take into them. I found myself today in my counseling with people over the phone is I'm saying, but you know what the biblical agenda is. And this seems to be rejected, especially rejected by people that don't want to correspond to the biblical frame of reference anymore. If a marriage is going to survive, there has to be an embracing of every aspect between the two people in the relationship that get together under God. There has to be that.
I've heard many in the women's movement clique refer to the Bible as chauvinistic, period.
In the philosophy book, the feminist philosopher says that they do not agree with Aristotle and Plato and Socrates and all these other male philosophers because Western philosophy is a male-oriented science, and they use the example in the text saying, look what it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and God created man first and then women. So they're saying that chauvinistic, okay, it is anti-women, and so therefore the Bible is anti-women.
Yes.
And I understand in a humanistic society when you can use your existentialism to become the creature of comfort that you think you are. I think that the only way that we can prove an existentialist wrong is to wait until death comes, and when death creeps upon him, they'll find out that we were right. But a real man would talk that way, and he'll say that way even to his wife. Men are afraid, as you guys have pointed out. Could it be, as we go on down to this next point, commitment is being faithful. Who are we faithful to first? We're faithful to God.
To God, to
Almighty
God.
If you're faithful to God first, then you will be faithful and correspond to your mate.
Yes.
Precisely.
Whenever problems come up in the marriage, because there has been a lack of faithfulness to God. Now, I hear, like you talk about in the debauched church, all these people going to church talking about, well, I go to church and I do this and I love the Lord. Well, are you faithful to God?
No, they're faithful to that church. They're faithful to that pastor. They're faithful to that evangelical character, if you will. That's what they're faithful to. They're faithful to the hula ministry and the singles ministry and the you know, which are, you know, chock full in Rick Warren's church and Joel Osteen's church. That's what they're faithful to. They don't want to hear the unadulterated, pure word of God because it's not fun.
I have come to discern that in most marriages between Christian men and women, that the men are more faithful to God than the women. This is a reversal from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s Christianity, when women were more faithful to God than men were. Yes, the entire shift has taken place, that men are more interested in following God and being that spiritual head, and women have, and ladies, I hope you guys are listening to me. Listen, because just like God is going to judge every rambunctious, debauched male who has messed over a woman in the worst way based upon 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. I've discussed that in some of my other webcasts. It says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way, realizing that they are the weaker vessel. And then he says, and if you do not do that, God tells the male, your prayers will be hindered. In other words, he says, unless you offer a prayer to me for something that you want, and if she is not smiling and happy and pleased with you as a man taking care of her and providing for her, God says, I'm not going to answer your prayer. Your prayer is moot. It just comes up to me and goes nowhere. So it's not that we're talking about women, but ladies, I want to warn you. We were talking about this in one of the studies too, and I say it all the time. I don't know about you guys, but what do you think is easier to be? Is it easier to be a woman, or is it easier to be a male?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Let's throw around a little bit.
It's a good question. I really can't answer for a woman. I just think it was...
Try to. Would it be easy for you to be submissive to a man? And you know what we're all about. Yeah, that's why I want you to go there. Because you see, that's where they want us to go. See, they're saying, why you want me to be submissive to you? And you wouldn't even be submissive to your own behind.
No, I wouldn't be submissive to my own behind in the way I was. Not at all.
Well, all right.
So,
why would you expect a woman to be?
I wouldn't expect a woman to be submissive to me
if you were,
I was in my marriage.
Okay. If you were absolutely doing the Christian thing, of course, all of us have faults, and I'm not talking about being free of that. Would your expectation be, if you are living up to the Christian mandate, would your expectation be that your wife should be wholly submissive unto you?
Yes.
Without any reserve. How about you, Mark Ramsey?
Submissive to me.
Submissive to the man.
Yes.
Now, I wish we had three women in the studio right now, but I'm going to ask some women that are listening out there. Now, ladies, I can't hear what you're saying, but can you look at your husband right now, because he's listening to this on your computer with you right now. Can you look at him right now and say, darling, sweetheart, lover, companion, friend, I am wholly submissive to you from this moment on. Now, guys, if she just got up while I posed a question and walked out the room, what you see is what you get. See, because that's the way that works. Because if they're not telling the truth, they're going to get up and walk out the room. Are they going to say, I hate John Coleman? Why do you love him so much? Why is he trying to mess up our relationship? No, he's trying to bring stability to it. Because if it's a biblical relationship, see, and the reason that I'm doing these 20 hours, guys, because everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Without this disposition or attitude, you're not going to heaven. You're going to be just like that female police officer that got crushed when the train crashed into it. You're going to meet your maker on the split second. And she ain't dancing no jig up in heaven with the angels.
No.
If she was living a lesbian lifestyle down here.
As Christ said to the apostles throughout the book of Matthew, you be ready be ready, because you know not when that day will come or when I'll come.